great to have you with us from wherever you're tuning in from. For more information about Elevate Church or to contact us, head to our website elevatechurch.me and take us wherever you go by downloading our Elevate Church AU app. We hope this message inspires and helps you to take your next steps in your journey.
Hey, good morning and happy Easter to you all, especially those of you joining us for the first time. Great to have you with us. Am I on? Can you hear me? This is a new microphone setup, so, you know, good. Let me ask you a question as we kick off this morning. Have you ever had a situation or a season where you had high expectations, but your experience didn't quite live up to them? Like, here's what I expected, and this was my reality. If you're struggling to think of an example, let me talk to my fellow married men here for a second. Cast your minds back to while you were engaged and you started thinking to yourself, can't wait to get married. We move in together, the same house, and we share that house, 50-50. Half of the bathroom countertop's going to be mine and the other half of the bathroom countertop's going to be hers. Half of the wardrobe space is going to be mine. And half of the wardrobe space is going to be hers. And yet as you sit here today, most days you're just grateful to still be living there. Parents, think back to before junior number one came along. And you were out in the wild, minding your own business. And you notice the kid having the meltdown in the supermarket because mom wouldn't let him get the treat that he wanted. Or you're at the restaurant, someone else's kid starts behaving like a maniac. And you think to yourself, when I have kids, there's no way I'm ever going to let them carry on like that. It's still March. And in case you missed it, March marks the 4-year anniversary since Global Lockdown 1.0. Talk about a time where our expectations didn't match up with our reality. You know, I know people that were planning on moving interstate, postponed indefinitely. People had grand plans for vacations and suddenly found themselves camping in the backyard, the ultimate staycation. Talking with a couple of our team members who were dating at the time, married now, and at the time they're living in a different city from Perth. And I learned just sort of like through pieces of information that while they were dating, several years ago, they were in a long distance relationship, what we call an LDR. And I said to them, wow, okay, where were you both living during this LDR? And they said, they named the city, I'm not going to name it, Melbourne. They were living in this particular city. They were living 20 minutes drive apart and they weren't allowed to see each other. They had a Zoom long distance relationship from a bicycle ride away. This is, my friends, when expectations don't match up with reality. Maybe you're watching the news, which I don't recommend, by the way, and you start seeing all the wars, all the political turmoil, all the drama, and at the end of it, you think to yourself, this is not the world when I was growing up that I expected to be living in 2024, and it's easy to conclude that we're just bound for a place that's obviously worse than the one that we came from. Maybe you're seeing the stories about AI, artificial intelligence, ChatGPT, Microsoft Copilot, Google Gemini, and you're thinking to yourself, there's so many unknowns here. Didn't the Terminator movies teach us anything? Or maybe you're a Fremantle Dockers fan and your relationship with your expectations is just one of perpetual heartbreak. But here's the trap, because it's inevitable. No matter what, where you're at in life, it's inevitable. There's going to be things where your expectations and your experiences don't line up. The dark side is if we start to allow ourselves to go on a slippery slope of becoming frustrated, which eventually, if left unchecked, can see us becoming cynical, jaded, and actually just ratcheting down our expectations. Why even bother? Why look forward to anything? Why have hope at all? Easter is a reminder that even if there is a struggle in the short term, that doesn't have to be the end of the story. The fact that Jesus rose again means that you can hope again. You can love again. You can trust again. You can have joy again, even in the midst of challenging circumstances. I mean, if anything, Easter's a reminder, as the old song teaches us, that the future's so bright, you really do have to wear shades. Leanne, rock on. So there's something that one of Jesus' early hand-picked followers wrote. Check this out. All praise to God, his name's Peter. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's by his great mercy that we've been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation. I wonder if just in this week gone by, or maybe this month gone by, if a camera crew had followed you around doing a documentary about your week or your month. I wonder if, and they knew nothing about your life beforehand, I wonder if they would conclude that you're living with great expectation. You know, they watched you suffer through that meeting at work. They saw you open that bill in your email inbox that you weren't expecting that number to have so many zeros before the decimal point. They caught the way that family member treated you. And they're like, no, this is definitely someone who's not living with great expectation. This person is in survival mode at best. And yet there's a clue here to why people who put their faith in Jesus can actually live with great expectation. And that's because of this thing that Peter describes as God's great mercy. And here's something that's true for all of us. Doesn't matter if you're a Jesus follower, you know, this isn't like a Christian thing. This is a thing, a people thing, a human thing. Here's the deal. I'm gonna tell you something and you already know it anyway. We all mess up. We all say things that we later wish we hadn't said. We all think things that maybe later we wish we hadn't thought. We do things that maybe later we wish we hadn't done. And what that leads to is us having this growing pile of regret. And this growing pile of regret starts to stink. And the stench that comes from that is the stench of guilt and shame. And we start wondering, is there any way out? Because if there's not a way out, then there's no point having great expectation. We're just going to sit there and think, oh, well, this is it. Welcome to my life. But Peter makes the point that there is a way out, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and his motivation was his great mercy. And Easter actually shows us that mercy isn't just something that God does. It's actually fundamental to who he is. I want to show you a couple of things. If you have your smartphone camera and you could be bothered, those aren't the same two things. You can scan this flow code. It's going to take you to the Bible app if you've got that installed. And it's going to take you to Exodus chapter 34. Now, if you're doing that, while you're doing that, let me give you some context. What's going on here, when I'm going to drop us into in history, is a time where a guy named Moses, which, by the way, fun fact, not a commercial, Netflix just released a Netflix original, 3-part docudrama about Moses, you know, the Prince of Egypt guy. It's currently number one on Netflix. Hello. Amazing. So there's a time, so this guy Moses, he's around 40 years old, and God gives him the call to lead the nation or the people of Israel. There's over 1 million of them, and a whole bunch of them were whingers. So you can imagine it's a challenging job. It's a frustrating job. Moses didn't go looking for the gig. He didn't apply on seek.com.au. No, God called him, and he was just, I don't know, silly enough to say yes. But he says to God, listen, all right, I'm in. But in order to know what it is you want me to do, I want to know and have a clearer understanding of who you are. So God, reveal yourself to him, which in that time, that's just not a prayer you prayed. It was like dangerous to ask God to reveal himself, because part of his sort of holiness is that you're never going to get it. And Moses is like, God, I want you. And God answered that prayer. Now, by the way, I suspect many of us and many of the people in your sphere actually have a picture of God. You know, some of your friends are going to tell you God's a bit like Santa Claus. Shows up at Christmas, throws a few gifts under the tree for you. Oh, that's nice. For some of you or some of your friends, God's like Grandpa. He's got a bit of wisdom. Listen to him. He's been around a while. Some people think God's like a policeman, just looking to catch you doing the wrong thing. Some people think he's a judge. All right, now that the policeman did catch you, it's my turn. Last week I talked about some people think God's like the Incredible Hulk. Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. We like the Bruce Banner version. We don't like the Incredible Hulk version. But what's powerful about what I'm about to show you is this is actually the answer that God gave to Moses. This is actually when Moses said, God, I need you to describe, I need you to show me who you are. I need you to reveal yourself to me. And God answered him, and this is what we've been calling God in his own words. He said to Moses, I'm the Lord. I'm the God of compassion and mercy. I'm, slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. And I just want to double click on this one, mercy. Because this one, mercy, it's actually very countercultural when you think about it. Because we live in a society where we're all about justice. Justice. You did the crime, pay the fine. Or worse, you did the crime, now do the time. And you're like, nah, I don't really think about that sort of stuff. Yeah, you do. Because some of you, when someone wrongs you, you want to go full John Wick on them, and that's the only thought you've got. The Italians have a phrase. It's called la vendetta, revenge. I'm consumed. And you don't just want to get back at them. You want to get back at them with a little bit of interest added. We're not going to just get even. I'm going to come out 10% better after this one. Would you have any interest in following a God who played by those rules? Or would you join me in getting on the escape bus and trying to get the heck out of Dodge as quickly as possible? And that's why this, to me anyway, this idea that God not only shows mercy, but it's actually central to who he is. He shows mercy because he's a God of mercy. You know, mercy, what's mercy? What does that mean? I don't even know what that means. Let me give you my simple Perth-raised definition. It's in its essence, mercy is giving people not only not what guilty people, let me just add that in, giving guilty people not only not what they deserve, which, by the way, some days I'd settle for that. Just God let me dodge a bullet. Phew! But the essence of God's mercy is he actually gives people better than they deserve. While we're sitting consumed by the weight of guilt and shame, look, if God just sent a pipe down there with a breathing tube, all right, it's pretty good. I can survive. But he gives us better than we deserve. He actually gives us a way out. That's the essence of God's mercy. And then, if that wasn't good news enough, if this is true, and by the way, I'm not, you know, some of you are like, yeah, whatever, you're paid to say this stuff. Well, I'm also not paid to live this stuff. And I've stumbled across this myself, for myself. And I do get the privilege of sharing it with you. But here's the thing. If this is true, if God is a God of mercy, and because he's a God of mercy, he shows mercy. And actually, his greatest demonstration of mercy is sending his son, Jesus, so that, as Peter said, if we put our faith in him, that's the way out. We can start living with great expectation, free of the weight of guilt and shame. If that's true, sign me up. But here's the thing. The good news gets even gooder. It's that it's actually a gift, like the gift of Jesus, the gift of Jesus' resurrection, the gift of putting our faith in. It's actually like any gift, it's given freely. You can't even earn it. I couldn't. In all good conscience, send you here with a list. Everyone, I'm glad you've joined us for Easter. If you want to get free because of what Jesus did, do these 10 things. Here's the list. And if you get them, if you nail them, I'll give you till Saturday. Come back next Sunday, give us a score. Then maybe welcome to the family. You made it. And it is not like that at all. God sent his son into the world as a gift. Jesus died willingly and voluntarily on a cross as a gift, and God rescued him and resurrected him from the grave and said, all you need to do is place your faith in him. That's it. Receive the gift. This is the, hang on a second, that sounds too good to be true. You're waiting for the catch. What's the catch? No catch. No catch. And I know many of you have received that gift. You've made that decision. And me too, when I was 25, just a couple of years ago. Can't believe the two people sitting in the front row laughing the loudest. I'm married to one of them. She lets me come home every night, live in her house, put one toothbrush on the bench. If you've never made that decision, I just want to pray for you now, and then I'm going to hand over to said wife. Just how about either, this is one of those church things, either close your eyes or bow your heads, which when you think about it, you don't need to do both. And if that's you, you've never actually opened your heart up to say, Jesus, I actually want to put my faith in you. Maybe that word that we showed up earlier, born again, frightens you. And it should. Some people have done some pretty crazy things. But it just means that God will actually create a new you, a free you, free of the guilt and the shame and the regrets. So for those of you that are ready to make that decision, I'm just going to pray for you now. I want you to sort of capture this prayer for yourself. So Jesus, for those people that are making that decision, praying that prayer today, we present them to you. We thank you. We thank you that they're here. We thank you their hearts are open. And that they're receiving that gift of freedom, that gift of from your mercy, and that they can start learning to live with great expectation. In Jesus' name, amen.
We really hope you got a lot out of this message. If you live in the Perth area, we'd love for you to join one of our live experiences. For times and directions, as well as information, head to our website, elevatechurch.me. For those of you beyond the Perth area, we'd love for you to connect with our online experience, which premieres every Sunday via YouTube and Facebook Live, and on demand immediately after. And to partner with us to reach more people by giving financially, head to our website, elevatechurch.me, and also download our Elevate Church AU app.